Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning there was peace, and in the end there will be peace. But what is here and now is war, not a war of money or land, but rather one of spirituality. So as our blood, sweat, and tears begin to blend into the rhythm of the drum, we are faced with one question. Who is willing to die for the light? Are you ready for the war?
Another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation. As always, I'll remind you all to get all your study guides as necessary for a good study, your Bibles, your Bible dictionaries, your concordance, your notepads, your iPads, your highlighters, your pens, your pencils, you know, all those things that you think that you need for a great study. Like always, we're going to start off with a brief prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day, another day to meet with you. We thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, who led and guided us throughout the course of this week, strengthened us, gave us that perfect example in which to follow, the encouragement that we needed to get over those trying times, gave us that smile that we needed to boost our spirits and allowed us to want to trudge a little more and keep our hands on that plow. Thank you, Father, for opening our minds to receive the wonders of your word. Thank you for opening our ears so that we can hear the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for allowing our hands to stay on that plow. Father, we ask of thee to continue to bless this world in the ways in which you want to bless them. Strengthen this world in the way that you want to strengthen it. We ask thee to continue to open the eyes of Israel and heal the sick of humanity by bringing them to understand who you are, O Yah, through thy Son, Yahushua, and allowing your servants that you have chosen, your servants, the prophets, the teachers, the elders that you have out in the world, and give them the wisdom to share your truth with those that are in darkness. Father, we ask thee to continue to look down upon us with your loving kindness and with your peace. We thank thee for thy Son, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, and soon coming King. And we thank you for allowing us to enter into yet another Sabbath day to give you praise. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Hello, family. This is Can It Be That Simple, and I'm Yara'al. And this particular lesson or topic is, I named it, Is There a Cold War in Israel? As we, you know, the introduction to this particular lesson, you know, it says, you know, peace. Peace was in the beginning, but then it became chaotic. But peace will be in the end. And we're in war. And that's a reality. We are in war. We're in war with that the spiritual battle. But sometimes that spiritual battle is also manifested in the physical. And sometimes we as individuals, we want peace. And that's just the make it short. We want peace. We don't want to fight. We would just love that everybody would accept what we say and go with it. But when you're telling the truth and people have heard lies for so long and those lies have become truth to them, then they believe that you're the one that's telling the lie. And when you hear it so often that people don't want to hear what you have to say, then that begins to cause you to maybe wonder rather than not, are you really in the truth? Because the mass majority is accepting the lie. Before I go on to the next point, I just want to put it out there. If you can hear me, somebody send a shout out. Because last week I had my earphones on and I listened to the broadcast and I kept hearing this click, 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 click. So I was assuming that it was my headphones hitting up against my chin. So I'm using my speaker this week and hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Just send a shout out. Let me know whether or not you can hear me clearly. But getting back to the point in regards to us dealing with this peace and not want to be in a confrontation. And one of the things that kind of led to this particular subject matter was I got this book in the mail the other day. It was called Crucial Confrontations. I called myself trying to read it, but couldn't really read it because I was having some issues with my eye. Didn't realize that you need both of your eyes to really get a good read on. So I may have some issues throughout the course of the night because my eye might get tired and, you know, hopefully, but more likely it won't because Most High is going to lead and guide me and heal my body and allow me to put forth this message. But yeah, but you know, one of the things that when I was reading this book, it was talking about the confrontation, how people don't want confrontations. They would rather sit back and allow things to just work its way through versus confronting it. And so that's where the subject is. It came up was, is there a Cold War in Israel? So one of the things I, you know, had to do was look up the term Cold War. And Cold War is definition for Cold War. Most of the time when you initially hear about Cold War, you hear about the Cold War when it was between the United States and Russia. Things happened with that and whatnot. But overall, that's when you initially hear the term Cold War. So that's where the idea came from. So then I looked it up, and this is the definition that it said for Cold War. It says, Cold War, a continuing state of resentful antagonism between two parties, short of open hostilities and violence. So one of the things that came to my mind in regards to Israel is that we have all these different factions. And then when it comes time to sit down and talk about that Torah, everybody gets hostile because, and some, you know, want to get violent, but they realize, hey, we're Israel, we can't be really fighting each other, but then we're fussing and getting hostile with each other when in essence we're supposed to be talking about the unity of the Torah. But because we're so caught up in our opinions and what we think is right and what we heard that should be right, and because of the propaganda that the adversary have put in our minds, and then ultimately some of us are coming out of different systems and then coming to the ways of Israel and not paying attention to the things that have been taught in the scriptures in regards to going through the process of being Israel. One of the things that when we read in the scriptures, it talks about the strangers who sojourns with you. Stranger is outside of you, but walking with you and learning your ways. Now, we as Israel are supposed to be walking in the ways of Torah, and we're supposed to be conforming to the Torah, not having the Torah conform to us. And that's where some of the conflict and the hostilities come from, because we're trying to make the Torah fit us when we're supposed to be making us fit the Torah. So the next term came from, I looked up the word confrontation. definition, it says a hostile or argumentative meeting or situation between opposing parties. So, and I put in parentheses opinion, because when you have people, people have opinions about everything. And they want people to hear their opinion. Because our minds, we believe that we're right. But I think there's a scripture to say, let every man be a liar and let Yah be truthful. So we know that Yah is truthful. We know that this word is truthful. And we are the liars. So we have to conform to the Torah. And that's if you believe in the Torah. So next thing I looked up was fight or flight, because this is a psychological thing. Because we're talking about war, we're talking about fighting, and we have to decide as an individual whether or not we want to fight or do we want to be defeat. And this is the definition for fight or flight is an instinctive physiological response to a threatening situation which readily wants either to resist forcefully or to run away. So it's like, do you want to stand up for the word of Yah? Or do you want to bow out and say, you know what, I don't even want to argue about the word. I don't even want to discuss the word. I don't even want to come to an agreement about the word. And that's what some of us do when it comes to defending this word. We cow down and say, no, I don't think we should argue about the word. But it's not, you know, it's on how you use the term. I mean, we can discuss the word and discuss the word peacefully without trying to harm each other and do things, as the scriptures say, in decency and in order. Because what are we doing? We're doing this for the sake of peace of mind with the Most High. Not peace of mind with you, the individual, but with the Most High. Because if you have peace of mind with the Most High, He's going to lead and guide you in His truth. And if you're talking to somebody across the table who's doing the same exact thing, what's going to happen? The two of you are going to come to an understanding of what truth is. Because you're setting aside your opinion. Now, the next term that came to mind, matter, a mind over matter. Because you hear people say that all the time, mind over matter, mind over matter. Now, mind over matter is the use of the willpower to overcome physical problems. The physical problem that we have now in Israel is that we can't agree on what the Torah is. We can't agree with thus saith Yahweh. We can't agree on what Yahushua did. We can't agree. That's a physical thing that's not being done right now. And we have to put our will, the will of the Father, in place so that this thing can be accomplished, allowing Him to utilize us. We say that we want to be vessels. We say that we want to be His children. We say that we want to follow His lead. But yet we have our hand in the pot. So the first scripture that we're going to go to in regards to this whole Cold War in Israel is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul, who's talking to the early church. And it reads, "For you are still fleshly, for insofar as there is jealousy, strife, factions among you, aren't you fleshly? And do not you walk in the ways of men?" So when Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, if you're familiar with the Corinthian church, they had the gifts of the Spirit. And the Corinthian church is also a church that was established through Gentiles, because we know that Paul's mission was to the Gentiles. So he was bringing non-believers, people who were not aware of the ways of Torah, and bringing them to the Torah. So some of us are like that. That's what we are. We are like that. Because some of us didn't wasn't born in the ways of Torah, and some of us were. You know, when I'm thinking about our particular camp, we had some of the children who were born in this way of life. But some of the parents, I'm going to say majority of parents, weren't born in this way of life. So what are we? We're like some Gentiles coming into this way of life. So we're going through different hustles and bustles trying to get rid of these things. And so this is what Paul was talking to this earlier church, saying, hey, you still have these fleshly problems, these fleshly issues that you have to get rid of. And see, and that's where we are in Israel. We have all these fleshly issues that we have to get rid of, but we have to use that mind power to put these things to the side and put them in the right place. And see, when we pay attention to the scriptures, what do the Most High do? He brings those things to the forefront so that we can address them and get rid of them. But some of us, when they be brought to the forefront, what do? We don't want to war with ourselves. We rather war with the Most High and not do it than war with ourselves and get rid of it. Because we think that it's easier to war with the Most High and turn our back on him. But no, the problem is still there. And then when something happens within us, we say, oh, Lord, please help me. We turn back to him because now we need him. When in essence he brought something to your attention that, hey, I need you to get rid of that so you can be a better servant for me. And this is one of the things that we have to do as believers, because if we're going to fight this war for him, we can't be having these isms and schisms that we have within ourselves that will hinder us. One of the things that, you know, Yeshua said was saying when he was talking to his taught ones, how they had little faith. What about our faith? Where's our faith at? You know, we read these stories and these things, and do we believe that these things happened? And if we do believe that these things happen, when the Most High brings things to our attention, he's bringing them to our attention for a purpose, because he wants them to be gone. He wants us to be that precious gold, that precious stone, that precious metal. And the way you get rid of those impurities out of metal is by sending them through the fire. From here, we're going to go to John chapter 18. And this is verse 36. And Yahushua is talking right here, and it reads, Yahushua answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom, Yahushua answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not far, is not from here. So from here, you know, we're going to go look at the perspective of understanding Yahushua saying, hey, look, my status, if we was in my kingdom, the Jews wouldn't have been bringing me to you. The Jews wouldn't have even had an opportunity to touch me because of who I am and because of my servants. See, right here, the Jews, the people that he came to save, the people he came to help, are taking him to a worldly kingdom, taking him to the world to be judged. Why? Because they disagreed with what he was saying. And this is Israel. This is Israel that Yahushua is talking about. That's what we're talking about now. Israel, having problems with Israel. He was telling them the truth of the word, and they had a problem with him telling the truth of the word. Why? Because others was hearing it, and because what they were teaching was contrary to what he was saying. And we have that going on right now in Israel. Romans chapter 8. Verse 6 and 7. And it reads, For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is hostile towards Yah, for it is not subject to Yah's law, neither indeed can it be. So when we operate from the flesh, we are outside of the laws of the Most High. And we cannot please him. And we're not even subject to him. Why? Because he ain't even paying us no mind. Operating in that spirit, when we operate in that peace, he's paying us some mind. Why? Because we're being obedient to him. We're doing what we're supposed to do. So that's going right back up here to 1 Corinthians 3:3. Strife. Jealousy. What is that causing us? That's causing us to be fleshly. That's causing us to be like men. Fleshly men, walking in the ways of the men, the corruption of man. Because we already know from the garden, when Adam was disobedient, he got cut off from the Most High, and he started a new way of life, disobedience. So when you cut yourself off from the Most High, you disobedient. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of Yah, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yah, which is your spiritual service. When we initially came in, this is a spiritual battle. So our spiritual battle, our spiritual duty is to sacrifice ourselves here and now to the word of the Most High so that we can be useful in that spiritual battle. Mind over matter. Understanding that our power is not of our own. Our power comes from Yah through his son Yahushua. That's how we gain this power. But do we want that power? Do we want it? And if we want it, we have to put forth the effort to get that power. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, well-pleasing, and the perfect will of Yah. What is the perfect will of Yah? Yahushua. That is the perfect will of Yah, Yahushua, because he operated and performed the deeds that his father wanted him to do perfectly, and he is our example. Ezra, chapter 10, verse 11, and it reads, now therefore make confessions to Yahweh, the mighty one, of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the foreign women. I went here and I used it, you know, understand that we as believers, we have to separate ourselves from this worldly system. We have to separate ourselves from this worldly system. And it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's easy, it's a difficult task. It's a difficult task because when you operating and you're going out there and you're working for somebody and you're dealing with people that's not doing the same things that you're doing. And so you have to look for those people that's doing the same thing that you are doing, striving to be a servant of the Most High, striving to walk in the ways of Yahushua, striving to speak the words of the Most High. The Torah, foreign women. And when I looked at that, I looked at that from a broad perspective, you know, how, you know, we put other things before the Most High, you know, and we commit adultery. You know, we put the money, we put the job, we put the kids, we put the car, we put the yard, we put a whole bunch of different things. We put knowledge, we put a lot of different things before the Most High. Sometimes, and he brings those things to our attention. Hey, son, Don't you think you're cutting that grass a little too much? You know, you don't need to cut the grass every week. You don't need to. You know, and how he does that, he'll tell you, you know, he had your wife tell you, hey, baby, why are you cutting the grass again? Didn't you just cut that grass Monday? Baby, it's Sunday, and, you know, I'm cutting it before Monday, but you just cut the grass. It didn't even rain. You know, some people, you know, we get habitual in some of the things that we do, and they become habit forming. And these habits become become rituals, and these rituals become just the norm. And then you be doing it so often and don't know why you're even doing it. And then all of a sudden you're wondering why you feel as though the Most High done left you. Why? Because you have put something before him that he allowed you to have. And that's the thing about it. The Most High allows us to have the things that we have. And at any time, he can take those things from us. And only thing he asks you is to give me a little praise. Give me a little honor. Be a little obedient to me. You know, because I got some things for you to do. I need you to fight for me. I need you to stand up for me. But are we willing to do that? And so I also have a reference with this scripture. I went to using a little. Hold on, I have to turn to it real quick. We're going to go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. And I just went here because of our forefather Abraham. And it reads, now Yahweh said to Abram, get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. So ultimately, you know, I went here because what are we doing? The land that we're looking for, the land that we're going to, is the heavens. That's our goal now. Our goal is the heavens, to enter into that kingdom that Yahushua said that he went to make room for us, you know, to prepare for us. He said, my father's house has many mansions. He went to a place to prepare that. That's the land that we're preparing for. We ain't preparing for no land in Montana. We ain't preparing for no land in Australia. No, that's not the land he's telling us about. That's not the land we're supposed to be looking for. We're looking for that land that Abraham was looking for, that whose builders was not of this earth. But are we ready to fight for him? Or are we going to keep cowering down and not trying to stand up for him? That time is going to come. And just like when we go through the different scriptures, what do? He weeds the people out. And that's what he's in the process of doing now. He's weeding the people out. Those who want to fight for him and those who don't want to fight for him. You know, he got different stipulations that he said. I think it was in one battle, he said, well, look, you know, if they just got getting married, and they just got a new wife and sent them home, can't be going to battle and he just got married. He ain't had time to enjoy his wife. Battle come up, hold up. He just bought a house? Oh, send him home. He just bought a house? Nah. He can't be dying on the battlefield and somebody else get to live in his house. I mean, he gives you different stipulations. You know? So, but we have to be prepared mentally to do this battle. And we have to battle within ourselves now. So when it comes to battling somebody else, we already prepared because we've been through the battle. Wise man said, you know, how do you learn about somebody else? It's by learning about yourself and understanding your shortcomings. Because the more you understand about your shortcomings, the more you'll be more empathetic in understanding somebody else's shortcomings. Because you were once there. So now we're going to go to Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, verses 1 to 4. And remember, the whole title is about this Cold War. And it reads, Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tent of meetings on the first day of the second month and the second year after they come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the children of Israel by their families, by their father's house, according to the numbers of names, every male, one by one, from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go out to war in Israel. You and Aaron shall number them by their division. There shall be a man of every tribe, everyone head of his father's house. So right, I went here because this is what they had just come out of. They come out of Egypt in the second month, in the second year. So they had been out in Egypt. They've been out in the wilderness for a year already. Now this is the second year. And what is he doing? Okay, now we got to count the people. We preparing for war. We getting ready to go to war. This land I'm getting ready to send you to, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight to get this land. So what are we doing? We're going to have to fight to get into the heavens. We're going to have to fight to get our space in the heavenly realm. Who are we going to be fighting? We're going to be fighting them demons. We're going to be fighting them people in high places. That's who we're going to be fighting. What do we read in the scripture? Our weapon of warfare is not flesh and is not of our enemy is not of flesh and blood, but it's principalities in high places. This is a mental battle. This is beyond the physical. So we have to get ourselves spiritually prepared. Stop getting caught up in these things down here on this earth. Because as we read in the scriptures, this stuff is going to pass away. But do we believe that? Or do we think this is like a fairy tale? Once you close the book and start all over, the story starts over again. Or for those gamers, you know, you hit reset and then the game starts over again. No, it's not going to start over. The Most High has given humanity a period of time. And it's what we do in the midst of the time that he has given us that's going to help, that's going to assist us in making it into that kingdom. And that's if we want to be there. Or do we think that these words are just words on a page? So now I'm going to go to Joshua. I'm going to read the first chapter. This is So right here, we read in Numbers. This is where Moses is telling them, yo, count the people. Get this army together. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. And it reads, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto Yahushua, or Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, and now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For Yahweh thy Elohim is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Then Yahushua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you viscous, for within 3 days ye shall pass over the Jordan to go into possess the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, have given you to possess it. And the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half the tribe of Manasseh speak, Yahushua saying, remember the words which Moses, thy servant of Yahweh, commanded you, saying, Yahweh, your Elohim, have given you rest, and have given you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them until Yahweh have given your brethren rest as has given you, and they also have possessed the land which Yahweh your Elohim giveth them. Then ye shall return into the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, Yahweh's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Accordingly, as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only Yahweh thy Elohim be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto the words, and all that thou commandest him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And I read this chapter right here, because as we know, Moses died, and Yahushua, son of Nun, was in command. And as we know, you know, he was given the mantle. Now, when we read this story talks about Joshua, son of Nun, going into this physical battle. Because when you read Joshua is just running through the land, and they just getting it in. They battling. There's times when the people don't want to listen, and you know the Most High don't allow them to win. You know, this particular chapter. It just talks about going to battle, going to war, and accomplish and getting his land. So one of the things when I've read it before, it made me think of what Yahushua is doing for us right now, preparing us so that when we go into that spiritual battle, we are prepared. You know, we're understanding what's going on. Like he tells them earlier, don't be dismayed. You know, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Constantly encouraging, you know, Joshua that he's with them. This is Yahweh talking to Joshua, telling them, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. When we read the scriptures, what are we always hearing? We're always hearing how Yahushua is saying, I'm with you, I'm with you. I'm going to send my spirit to be with you. I'm going to send my spirit to be with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. You're never alone. So we have to realize that we're never alone. But we have to believe it. And if we come to understand that we're never alone, we're not going to have a problem standing up for his word. Because if we're vessels, he's going to give us what to say. There's a scripture that say, "Don't give any thought." I mean, I believe when the Messiah sent the disciples out, he said, "Don't take no books with you. Don't take this. Don't take that. Don't take a whole bunch of anything with you. Because I got you. I got you. My spirit is going to go before you. And when it go before you, it's going to pave the way for you to have everything that you need in the time in which you need it. So we have to do the same thing." When it comes time to standing up for his word and talking about his word, we can't have no script. Because if we have a script, then the script is ours. The script is not ours. The word is his. And he knows what he needs you to say to whom he needs you to say it. We have to believe that. From here, we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14. Oh, I got it written down. It's getting ready to turn to it. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1-3. And this is, I got a little note right here, and this is Yisrael was looking for a type of Messiah. And it reads, "Behold, the day of Yahweh comes when your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city will go into the captivity, and the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then Yahweh will go out and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." So, I went here because, you know, when we get to the Messiah's time, when Messiah came in the flesh, Israel was looking for a particular Messiah. Because, you know, when you read the scriptures, there's two types of Messiah, the suffering servant and the mighty king. So because Israel was, the Messiah came back, you know, they was in captivity. So they wasn't looking for no Messiah that was going to be a suffering servant. They was looking for a Messiah that was a mighty king coming to take their burdens off of their backs. So from here, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, chapter 10, verse 34. And it reads, "Do not think I come to send peace on the earth. I do not come to send peace, but a sword." So one of the things that we have to understand that, when the Messiah came, he came not to bring peace, but that sword. But when we deal with that sword, the sword is the word. And what did he do? He brought that word and he gave that word to the people. And what did it do? It did not bring peace to the people, because the people were so in disarray that it didn't settle well with them. It was controversial. Why? Because the people or the leaders at that time, far away from the Torah, that the things that he was saying was causing division. Because even though within Israel you always have, as they say, that faithful few that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But then you have the majority that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And this is what we're talking about right now. And then the same, you know, and this is the same scripture, but this has come from Luke's perspective. And that's in Luke 12, verse 51. And it says, "Do not think that I've come to give peace in the earth. I tell you, no, but rather division." How did he bring division? Because when he started bringing truth to the word, then that created levels of division. Like we said earlier, you know, about people and being men and doing things fleshly, which causes division amongst the people. Because you have one person studying under this person, this another person studying under another person, you know, which causes dissension amongst the house. And as a scripture to say, a divided house will not stand, because they don't have a solid foundation in which they're standing on. But even though we do know that the Torah is a solid foundation, and we do know that Yahushua is a solid foundation to stand upon, but people are not standing upon these foundations. They're standing upon different foundations, which are not founded in the truth. So from here, we're going to go to Philippians 2:11. And it reads, "Have this in your mind, which was also in Yahushua, who existed in the form of Mighty One, did not consider it equal with Yah a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, yes, the death of the burden. Therefore, Yah also highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that a name of Yahushua, every knee should, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Yahushua is Messiah, to the glory of Yah, the Father." I went here because this is one of the points that we have to definitely stress, who the Messiah is. Because we read in the scriptures, there's only one name in heaven that the Father honors. And this is the name, Yahushua. That's the name. And because of what he did. And that's the name that we have to stand on. That's the foundation that we have to stand on. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to 20. And this is Yahushua talking to his taught ones. And it reads, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, and harmful and harmless as doves. But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and their synagogues. They will scourge you, yes, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the nations. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious how or what you will say, for it will be given you in that hour what you will say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." This is what Yahushua said to the taught ones. And if we acknowledge ourselves as being the taught ones of Yahushua, then we understand that the Father is going to speak through us because he's speaking through him. And he's going to send us those words to speak, to say. Just like when we read in Joshua, be encouraged, be strong. But we have to mentally do that. We have to mentally get that mental fortitude. You know, just like you have those individuals that lift weights and things of that nature, exercise and whatnot. But you got to have mental fortitude to do that thing also. Because it's your mind that's causing you to lift that weight. It's your mind. Because the body is just following what the mind say. This last group of scriptures I'm going to read for tonight. And this is 2 Timothy, verses 7 to 12. And it's this is Paul. I apologize, families. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 to 12. And this is a letter from Paul. And it reads, "But Yah did not give us the spirit of fear, but the power, love, and self-control." Stop there for a minute. Come time for us to talk to these people, we have that power. We have love and we have self-control. See, self-control is going to keep us to maintain our cool, to be harmless as doves. That love and that power is going to give us that wisdom that we need to pass on what needs to be passed on. You know, because when we're talking to people about this word and bringing it to that mind, one of the things that we have to be mindful of is a scripture that talks about, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill the body and the soul. See, because when we telling that truth of that word and the power of Yah through Yahushua, oh, that word is going to cut down to their soul. That's what it's going to do. And they ain't going to have no excuse when we give them that truth. See, because we're going to cut it down. We're going to give it to them straight down. You know, it ain't going to be straight just in the ear. It's going to touch them. Why? Because we got that power of the Most High. Got that power of Yahushua. You know, he give us physical examples of that. He said, when I look upon the earth, it shakes. You know, it trembles. That's a physical manifestation of something that we're going to be doing spiritually to people when we're talking to them. Because these words that are coming out of our mouths are spirit. It's that wind of the Most High. That life of the Most High that he's sending down to us through Yahushua. Verse 8, "For do not be ashamed of the testimony of Yahushua, nor of me, his prisoner, but endure hardships for the good news according to the power of Yah, who saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Yahushua before time eternal, but has now been revealed by the appearance of the Savior Yahushua, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the good news. For this I was appointed as a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For this cause I also suffer these things. Yet I am not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard to him against that day. Hold the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which is in Yahushua, that good things which was committed to you, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What dwells in us? Yahushua dwells in us. His word dwells in us. Do you believe that? Or are these just words on a page? Is this just a nice letter that Paul is writing to Timothy, one of his servants? These are the type of words that we get for our encouragement in this day. This is how he's having it so that we can grab a hold to him and to be encouraged and be strong and not be ashamed of him. See, because that's sometimes the reason why some of us might not want to discuss the word and get into those, as they say, heated discussions. Because we are ashamed of what we think we know. But if we come to the realization that we know nothing, then we know all. We know all. Because now we become a vessel. One of the things that when Paul asked the Most High to take this thorn from him, he said, "Nah, son, I ain't taking that from you. Yo, I got that there so you won't get so big-headed." And when he realized that that's why it was there, he jumped with joy because he realized that the Most High took notice of him and did not want him to get big-headed. And that's the same for us. He does his little things for us to let us know that I'm right there with you. But some of us ignore it. Some of us embrace it. But that's what we have to do. We have to embrace this word and not be ashamed of this word and stand up for it and not be afraid and go through the process, because it's a process. It's a process. When we read the stories of Abram, that was a process. It's a process. Even when we look at this, the brief history of Yahushua, it was a process that he went through and doing the things that he did that led up to him laying his life down for humanity. He didn't just come on the scene and lay his life down. He didn't just do that. When Moses went through the wilderness, it was a process. As we read and learn, it was a 3 days journey. But it was a process that Israel had to go through. It took them 40 years. And everybody didn't go, because everybody didn't want to conform. But you have to decide whether or not you want to cross over. Because if we pay attention to the story of Exodus from Egypt, 12 went over. 10 approved. Say, yeah, we can get this. We can get this land. Yo, this land is for us for the taking. 10 come back and say, you know what, man? I don't think we should do any battling with them. Them people big. Them people got this. Them people got that. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. Nothing new. But family, just wanted to, going back to the initial topic, Is there a cold war in Israel? You know, we have to deal with those tough confrontations, those tough situations home first before we start trying to deal with them abroad. See, because when we deal things abroad, as back in the day, our previous rabbi used to say, you know, this is where we need to spawn at. We need to spawn here amongst us, amongst the family. You know, we need to spawn. You know, well, because we got to get rid of the tough situations. We got to get rid of them. We got to get practice in dealing with the tough situations at home to somebody you love. You know, tell somebody you love that they're doing something wrong. Give kudos where kudos is due, but give correction where correction is due. Don't be quick to correct somebody that, you know, you ain't going to see them no more. What gain is that? What gain is that? So we have to, you know, deal with those confrontations. Got to deal with those confrontations. And they hard. They definitely hard. They are hard. You know, feelings get touched, you know, but at the same time, we can't harp on them. We can't harp on them. Mind over matter, family. Mind over matter. Our strength comes from Yahushua. Our strength is sent down by Yah to Yahushua, who sends it to us. Now, are we going to be like, the story just came to my mind. When Daniel prayed, you know, the scriptures say how, hey, the answer was sent to him the day he prayed. But he didn't get it to 21 days later. Why? Because that prayer, the one that was, excuse me, the one that was bringing the prayer ended up coming in confrontation with somebody else that hindered the prayer from getting to him. That's what we do sometimes. We hinder stuff by getting in the way with our opinions, with our thinking, what we think we know. But hopefully, family, this message can encourage you to want to be like Yahushua. I know I want to be like them. I want to be like them. And I wish for all of us that is in the listening to my voice want to be like them. So that when he comes back, you know, that's that faithful. That's what we're talking about, those who are standing up for him right now. Those who are not wavering. Those who are waiting in formation for him to come and lead. You know, I was in the military, you know, for a period of my life, and I can recall standing in formation, waiting for the general to come pass, and waiting for the head honchos to come pass, and, you know, giving them their salutes, and, you know, and then when they go past, then everybody file off and follow behind the general and whatnot. I mean, it's a beautiful sight. You know, they call it drilling ceremony, you know, but this is going to be something altogether different. When that happens, we're going to fight. We're going to war. And they also do that in war also, you know, going in formation. So, family, be encouraged. Be mindful of who you're listening to. Don't be dismayed, because we have to be mindful that the adversary is out there doing his job. And, you know, the Most High uses him to do a job too. And he said, you know, there's a scripture that says, you know, for there's no marvel, for Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. You know, recently Brother brought out the, you know, the different birds, and, you know, we have to be mindful that, you know, you have a bird that, you know, has a very powerful spirit. You know, you have a bird that has a very nurturing spirit. You know, so every positive spirit that they have, every positive spirit that's out there, there's a demon that has that same spirit. So you have to be mindful. You know, one of the things that we've learned over the years is that you compare this, you compare everything with the scriptures. That's your foundation. If it matches up with the scripture, then good, you go with it. If it go contrary to the scriptures, then you don't go with it. If one cannot prove what they're doing through the scriptures, then you don't do it. Even if it do sound good, don't do it. If it doesn't have two or three witnesses in the scriptures, then don't do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, as we approach the time in which we slumber, we ask of thee to continue to protect our spirits, our unconscious mind, as well as our conscious mind, allowing us to stand on your word in both states, giving you honor and giving you praise through thy son, Yahushua. We ask of thee, Father, to continue to help us to encourage one another to stand in your word and stand in your truth. Stand hand in hand, arm in arm, as a solid fence, protecting your word from all those who are trying to pervert it. Father, to continue to help us to learn of thy things that you have put in this earth to help us to live forever. May we strengthen our bodies physically, spiritually, emotionally. May we try to get rid of some of that gluttonous that we have in our lives so that we can have more time to spend with you and give you praise and give you honor. Continue to help us to become closer to you by putting our bodies through rigorous training. And that vigorous training that I'm talking about is fasting and praying. For if we have in our hearts and practice dwelling with you, then we might not depend so much on the physical, because we're dwelling with you on a much regular basis when we're fasting and praying and trying to be one with you and thy son, trying to be one with thy word, helping us to renew our mind. Father, we ask of thee to continue to strengthen the families that are abroad, that are serving you and keeping thy Sabbath on this day. We ask of thee to continue to encourage them and strengthen them in your ways and in your truth as we go through this dilemma that's going through the world at this time. We ask of thee to put your healing on those who are in need of healing, in whatever way that they need the healing. Comfort those who need comfort. Strengthen those who need strengthening. Chastise those who need chastising. Father, we ask of thee to continue to show your love, because you show your love in all aspects. You show your love how we need it. As you said in your word, Asha Eya, you will be what we need you to be when we need it. Father, I ask of thee to continue to help me to encourage my brothers and my sisters that are walking in your ways and in your truth to be encouraged and be strong in Yahushua. We ask of thee, O Father, to continue to help us to show your love in this world. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his peace to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Israel with peace. Father, we thank thee for all you've done in the name of thy Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and soon coming King, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen.
Heavenly voices, oh, every time. Heavenly voices, speak to me. Heavenly voices.